This is Invest Talk from KPP Financial, helping investors make sense of the markets one day at a time. Here's your host, Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Monday, July 13th, 2026 edition, and we are now into the second full trading week of the second half of the year. It means that we're moving forward, moving into deep into summer. Hope everyone's having a fun summer, staying cool, hopefully, as well. But this show is not about the weather. It's about whether or not you're prepared for your retirement, or at least your path towards retirement, or whatever financial goals you might have. It may be buying a house. It may be paying for kids' college. It may be paying for a kid's down payment on a home, whatever that might be. It's about making smart decisions with your money consistently. And you do that by having sound principles to start with, and then not allowing emotions to get the best of you, both in good times and bad. The market's been up, especially, you know, last year, this year. A lot of times people look at this time and say, you know, I need to take more risk. And maybe that's true, but also maybe you just have bad timing. Maybe you're allowing emotions to get the best of you. Just like when the market pulls back and you see a 10, 15% drop, a lot of people freak out and say, I'm taking too much risk. So it's very important to keep a level head. And our job here is to help you with that. I'm Justin Klein, and I will, throughout this hour, give you actionable data, material, and perspective developed with over 25 years of investment experience so that you can make smarter decisions with your money. I will also answer your finance and investment questions, and that will be the main crux of this hour. So don't hesitate to reach out, whether that's via our number, 888-99-CHART. Maybe you're sending us a message on our website or on our YouTube channel. Maybe you're leaving us a review on iTunes. Maybe you're just calling after hours and leaving your question on the Invest Talk voice bank. Either way, no matter what, we love hearing what you have to say. Now, in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics. But as usual, we'll tackle this first caller question now.
Hi, thanks for your show. This is Greta from Palm Desert, and I have a question about Micron Technology. Looking to buy, ticker MU, Micron, and just curious about your thoughts on the stock and getting in on it. Thanks.
All right, looking at Micron, one of the big winners over the past couple of years. Supposed to earn $73 a share this year after making only $8.29 last year, actually losing money in 2023, lost $4 and change there. And then next year, supposed to earn $152.82. So based on forward-looking earnings, it looks cheap. Now, here's what you have to understand about Micron and all of these chip stocks. Historically, these are extremely cyclical businesses with huge boom and bust cycles. Now, granted, this is probably the biggest boom cycle the chip industry, or the memory industry, that's what this is, memory stock. The memory producers, the biggest boom they've ever had. Now, what that could mean is there's more upside. Could very well mean that. But history says that they tend to build out more capacity when there are times like these. Eventually, that capacity comes on across the industry, which means more supply, which means lower prices, which means lower margins, and then profits tend to fall. That's how this works. Memory. Nobody cares what your memory is in your phone, in your laptop, in the AI data center that's crunching the, you know, running the model when you query ChatGPT or Claude or any of the other ones. So it's a commodity. And right now, there's not enough supply. So this is extremely risky. Once again, there can be more upside, but understand that when the tide turns, this will drop 70, 80, 90% from its high. That's the history of these names. Very well could go into a loss at some point in the next 10 years. So this isn't one of those buy and hold type of investments. It's one of those, okay, let's hold until maybe there's a shift in the tide. And you'll know that really from the chart. Now, so far, the chart has pulled back a little bit from a little 1250 right now we're back down to 900 and change, 937 or so at the close today. What I would say is you watch for the 100-day moving average break. To me, when that happens, that's when this is over, most likely. Meaning you're going through a more protracted long downtrend. That's probably going to take the sub, who knows, $200. So it's a momentum play. If you're up for a momentum play, great. Jump on board. But make sure you have an out because there's huge downside when the tide turns. But once again, could be another year or two before that happens. Now, we had a great show on Friday. We looked into the story about travel stocks and what the off-season boom tells us about the consumer economy. We also answer listener questions on TTM Technologies. And if you happen to miss it, go check it out. The best way to get every show is to follow Invest Talk wherever you get your podcasts. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes or so. Time permitting, we'll get to all of it. And our main focus point is about simple portfolio checks that could save you costly mistakes for the back half of 2026. So as I said, we're just past the halfway mark in the year. This is a good time to reassess a bunch of aspects of your financial life, from your savings rate to your asset allocation to your liquidity or liquid reserves, your equity, your type of equity positioning, fixed income exposure, et cetera. So we're going to dig into that and much, much more, including treasuries, the treasury market. Japan is starting to intervene in order to prevent the yen from falling much further. But in order to do that, they're actually selling off assets, including treasuries. And is that a reason why longer-term treasury rates continue to go up? We're approaching the highs once again in the 10-year treasury rate for the past, let's see, year and a half. We'll dig into that story. Also, what's going on in Germany, especially in relation to China? China is now hollowing out the industrial base of Germany. Some big news there. But ultimately, this will be about your calls, your voice bank questions. One is on Costco. One is on Philip Morris. We also have questions that came in via the InvestTalk YouTube channel. So whatever's on your mind, we want to hear from you. We're going to head into a break. Please remember, you can call anytime and leave your question on the InvestTalk voice bank. And if you're listening via our live stream on InvestTalk.com or possibly on AM 1220 in the Bay Area, you can call right now at 888-99-CHART. And hang on, because we'll be taking a live call coming up next. Jane from the Bay Area, you will be right after this break.
It's official. Total lifetime downloads for the Invest Talk podcast have now surpassed 63 million. So tell your friends, when they have finance and investment questions, call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
We're going to talk to Jane in the Bay Area looking at EWY, which I believe this is South Korea, right?
Yes. Thank you for taking my call, Justin. I'm a long-time listener. I'm interested in actually SK Hynix. Mm-hmm. Ticker symbol is SKHY or EWY, which is, I believe, ETF. Mm-hmm. But I don't have much information. Is it a good time to get some exposure to these South Korean, whatever you call it?
Mm-hmm. So this is interesting because we just answered a call on Micron and then SK Hynix. These are two memory makers and two of the hottest names on the in the market. And this is a lesson for everybody out there. And I've been doing this for a long time. And there's a very high correlation to the questions we get about particular names and usually the peak in these stocks. Just how it is. People have the most interest and they chase the highest returns. This is what we try to avoid, help people avoid, is chasing these particular these names that have done really well recently, but you know, there's a reversion to the mean that naturally will occur. And in some industries are different than others. So all industries are different than others, but they have similar flavors, shall we say. And as I said with Micron, these are very cyclical businesses. And it's not a coincidence that SK Hynix just went public here on U.S. exchanges in order to raise capital. When companies are going to market to raise capital, that is a sure sign that you want to avoid these names. They know their business. They know that this is the best time ever, right? And the market has recognized that. And so they're not going to go and raise capital and sell more shares when if the stock is cheap. They're going to do it when it's expensive. So you want to avoid it when they go public like this. And today is a good example. SK Hynix, it went public on Friday, and it's actually down 10% on the day. So it's immediately falling, which tells you that it's very overvalued. And it, you know, if you go buy the South Korean ETF, you're getting, I think it's SK Hynix and what's the other one? The Samsung? I think that's the two large companies within that particular ETF. So, or that index. So you want to, these are names that you want to avoid right now. You know, yes, they're momentum names, and they could go up in the near term. Unless, you know, it's hard to always pick that top, but understand the signs. You know, read the signs that are flashing in your face, which is these companies are raising capital. They would not be raising capital if it was a good opportunity to buy the shares. It's a good opportunity for them to sell the shares, which means it's the corollary for you. It's the bad opportunity for you to buy the shares, right? Now, could there be a correction in the cycle and eventually, you know, it makes sense to pick them up? Sure, but now's not a good time.
Now is not a good time. Nope. Thank you so much.
No
I
problem.
I really appreciate it. Okay?
No problem.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. And just for all the other listeners out there, recognize these. You know, this is something I've been doing for 25 years. I've seen so many cycles, so many. There's always the flavor of the, I don't want to say the month, because usually it's a period. It's a few quarters or a year or whatever. And there's a narrative behind it. Markets are, especially equity markets, are very narrative driven. And the reason it's narrative driven is because those narratives drive share issuance. It drives M&A activity. It drives bond issuance. These are all things that the big investment banks, Wall Street, makes money on. That's why they try to create these narratives and put out these reports. Sometimes it makes sense, sometimes it doesn't, but it's all to drive more profits for Wall Street, not necessarily for you, the investor. Now, our 24/7 Invest Talk Voice Bank never closes, so you can leave your finance and investment question anytime on 888-99-CHART. And our work continues after this break.
The calls are free. The unbiased answers are free. So what are you waiting for? Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go look at a very interesting market today with market broadly in the red. NASDAQ down over 1.5%, S&P down about 80 basis points, and the Dow down about 0.25%. Really, this was driven by more downside in these memory producers. Really, you had the South Korean KOSPI, which the caller just asked about, down 9% overnight. As I said, I think we're in the inflection point. Now, could there be more upside? Sure. But I think the odds are now tilting that the peak in these AI hardware names is behind us. That's my sense. Doing this 25 years, I've seen these cycles, and usually the market moves well before like the average sale price starts to turn. And there's already talk about that, okay? Which means, once again, margins are likely to come down. So a name like Micron, who's supposed to earn $152 next year, if average selling prices are starting to come down, suddenly that's going to drop considerably, that earnings expectation for next year. So that's a big factor here. That's one of the reasons why the NASDAQ was down so much. Hardware names were down so much. You had Micron was only down 1.25%, but names like Marvel were down 3%. A lot of the, once again, the hardware names down. What was up was actually software. And so to me, this is actually the trade. I find the software names are far more attractive right now than the hardware names, at least in the short to medium term. Now, how AI evolves and if it continues to encroach on what software is doing, you know, 3 to 5 years from now, that could be different. But if you're talking about near-term opportunity and risk versus reward, saying for the next 12 to 18 months, I definitely see software as a much better opportunity right now. And you're seeing that today. And there's a lot of rotation happening in markets into retail and apparel, food names, chemicals, industrials, insurance companies. Those are the outperformers today. The underperformers, once again, were those hardware companies, those AI hardware names that had been winners and now they're starting to roll over. What else did we see? The two-year yield, 4.25%, the highest since early 2025. Starting to get some hawkish talk from some of the Fed governors. And then there's a lot of corporate bond supply. Amazon issuing $25 billion. It was kind of an unexpected sale of $25 billion. That's also widening spreads across the kind of industry. You have CPI figures that come out on Tuesday. That's tomorrow. So we'll get a lot more data there. Kevin Warsh, Fed chair, his first 2 days of semi-annual monetary policy testimony tomorrow. So there'll be a lot more. There'll be some market moving comments, I'm sure, around the future of policy and just the Fed in general. Now, the good news is credit card spending came in strong. 6.3% growth year over year in June, the strongest in over 4 years. It is mainly due to discretionary spending. So people continue to spend. So as I've said before, this is more of a market that's in rotation as opposed to a big crash or anything like that, because there are sectors that are working. Then you have the backdrop of what's going on in the Middle East and the Straits of Hormuz that remains closed. Do not expect a resolution anytime soon. I expect this to bounce back and forth between open and close and negotiations and so on, really through the election. I think it's pretty clear that President Trump can't acquiesce and just go home, because he has to, at least through the election, make it look like things are fine. But unresolved in the Middle East. If he goes home, then it's a loss. And he doesn't want to be viewed as that, especially going into the midterms. But it's pretty clear, I think in the medium term, oil prices are generally going to trend higher. What else did you see today? Dollar was up 0.3%. Gold finished down 2.6%. Silver down 3.7%. Yields are up about 4 to 7 basis points with the curve flattening. WTI was up 9.4%. The highest level since the Straits of Hormuz were reopened, quote unquote, over the past couple weeks. And that was the market today. Continued rotation and a lot of volatility underneath the surface. Now, this is InvestTalk, and our work continues. Oh, hey, we're going to a break. Yeah, we're going to go to a quick break. You can call me anytime, 24/7, 365. As always, the same number is 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk is ready 24/7 for your finance and investment questions.
My 5-year-old son and I listen to your podcast every night, so thank you very much for putting it on.
Justin Klein is here and ready to tackle your questions.
Is it a good idea to sell your losses in a Roth IRA and just use whatever you have left to reinvest into better stocks?
Wondering what you thought about this REIT, if it would be a good time to get in.
I wanted to pick your brain about Apple. What did you think about their earnings call? Is this a good time to add to my position?
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
At KPP Financial, accountability means more than advice. It means we invest alongside you. Through our parallel investing approach, when we recommend an investment for clients, one or more KPP principals invest their own capital at the same time. Same day, same price, same percentage. If your portfolio moves, ours does too. That is alignment. That is transparency. That is the KPP difference. Visit investtalk.com to get your free portfolio review. Do you ever think about how two people can be the same age, yet one just seems to have more energy, gets better sleep, and recovers faster? That difference usually has less to do with actual age and more to do with what's happening underneath the surface. That's why I'm excited to share the good news about the True Age test from True Diagnostic. It's an at-home test that looks at markers on your DNA using epigenetics to determine your biological age, not just how many birthdays you've had. Here's what brings the value to the True Age test. It doesn't stop at a single age number. You get your biological age, your pace of aging, and a breakdown of how 11 key organ systems are aging, including your heart, brain, lungs, and liver. You also get 75-plus longevity biomarkers, translated into clear, easy-to-understand insights around things like metabolic health and immune function. So instead of just getting raw data, you actually get a more complete picture of how your body is functioning day to day. You get personalized recommendations based on your results, things like sleep, nutrition, exercise, supplements, and lifestyle changes, so you have a clear roadmap for improving your health over time. The process itself is very simple. It's just an at-home finger prick. You send it back in the prepaid kit, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you get your full report online. So if you're serious about longevity, or even just curious whether your body is aging faster or slower than your actual age, this is one of the easiest ways to find out. Right now, go to truediagnostic.com and use code INVEST20 for 20% off your entire order. That's truediagnostic.com, code INVEST20 for 20% off.
There are a few things that make KPP Financial special. One of them is parallel investing. This means they invest right alongside their clients. Here's how it works. When KPP Financial makes a trade for their clients, Justin Klein makes the same trade for himself and KPP on the same day, at the same price, and same percentage. No front running, no special treatment. Learn more about parallel investing at investtalk.com.
Our main focus point today is about some simple portfolio checks that could save you from costly mistakes. Now that we are pretty much halfway through the year, a little more now, it's a good opportunity to check up on your portfolio. I know when the times are good, it's easy to tune everything out and, you know, everything's positive. So you're fine, right? And that's one of the biggest mistakes people make. Is they only pay attention when things are looking bad. And the reality is they've lost the opportunity to rebalance their portfolio when it's an opportune time to do so. Usually when the market's dropping and everything's, you know, you go look year to date, you're down or whatever, that's usually not the best time to be making major changes. A lot of it's irrational, emotional. And so it's better when market's up to use these trigger points, like halfway through the year, to say, okay, let's step back and say, what are my goals? Am I achieving them? So number one is check on your current savings rate and whether you're on track for your goals. This goes back to something we do for our clients. We use something called Orion Planning. There's a lot of good planning tools out there. You can go and create one, you know, find one yourself. However you do it, you need to have a plan, not just to, and it needs to encompass your entire financial life, not just your investments, but what about your real estate that you might own? Do you have a pension? What other assets? What debt do you have from mortgages to others? How are your investments invested? What is your expected earnings over an extended period of time? What about Social Security planning, Roth conversion planning? Those are things that we do for clients, and you know, that's just the start of it, but there's more. But those are the pieces of an actual plan that can tell you most likely where you'll be in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. What's your tax rate? Not just today, but 20 years from now. Are you allocating your savings correctly in your 401k, for example, to get your match? Those are the things that you need to know. You need to have that plan. And you need to be saving consistently. A baseline is about 15% of your savings or of your income. higher income folks, probably even higher because Social Security is not going to be as much for you as a percentage of your spending, most likely. Now, if you're already retired, then it's the withdrawal rate. Okay, how much did you spend last year or maybe in the first half of this year? And if that's sustained, inflation adjusted, are you going to have enough money? This is part of the planning process. Like I said, this is what you pay an advisor to do. What we do, along with the investment side, but I digress. Number two, assess your asset allocation. Stocks are up. Bonds are kind of flat to down, depending on which bonds you're in. What are your allocation targets? How are they moving over time? Usually, if stocks or bonds are flat to down, stocks are up, well, you're probably going to be overweight equities. So you need to start developing a plan to get those back into targets. Then also, what is your exposure to U.S. stocks versus domestic or foreign stocks? The global market indices are roughly 60% U.S., 40% non-U.S. How close are you to that? Foreign stocks are starting to outperform, especially if the dollar goes into a structural decline, which is starting to become increasingly likely to, based on our deficit. Then looking at your bond portfolio. You have too much duration, too much credit risk. Then start to make a plan with your taxes in mind, if it's there's money in taxable accounts, how to shift your asset allocation. So you typically want to do that with tax sheltered accounts like IRAs, 401ks first, and then move on to taxable accounts. Then number three is liquid reserves. Do you have enough? Standard guide is 3 to 6 months of living expenses. Now, if you are a high income earner or you're like a gig worker or you are heavily reliant on commissions because you have a sales job or something like that, your target for reserve should be higher. For retired people, at least 6 months, upwards of 2 years of cash. I would say 1 to 2 years is my range. And this is a good time if you're a retiree, sell a little bit of your equities to top off your liquid reserves to get to that cash reserve target. And then to make sure it's earning a reasonable yield. Probably a high yield savings account, FDIC insured, maybe some CDs, et cetera. That's a good way to invest your cash. Then within your equity position, step four is what has done well. For example, over the past 3 months, Q2, tech did very well and large cap names had done very well. But closing the quarter, you had a lot of Mag 7 names not do very well. So if you own some of those names, you know, is this the start of the revaluation due to the change in their business model? Make sure you're rebalancing. Make sure you're not too overweight those particular names or just your sector positioning in general. So you need to have an asset allocation target for how much in equities, how much in U.S. equities, how much in foreign equities, how much in bonds, how much in liquid assets like money markets or high yield savings, maybe how much in commodities. And then within those, how much risk should you be taking? What's your sector allocation for equities, for example? And then for fixed income, number five is understand your exposure. Are you taking a lot of credit risk? Are you taking a lot of duration risk? In this environment, we prefer taking credit risk over duration risk. I mean, you don't want long-term bonds. You don't want to own TLT. You don't want to own 10, 20, 30-year bonds of any type. And you're seeing that now with longer rates going up. And then individual holdings. So for individual stocks, you need to look at valuation, changes in their business model, maybe their balance sheet, cash flows, earnings trends. Are they going up? Are they going down? For individual funds, the manager change, strategy change, or the persistent underperformance compared to the category that it's in. Take a look at that. But obviously, if you're reducing anything in taxable accounts, run some projections of how that might fit, how it might impact your tax bill. And then another factor in how quickly you do this is your age. Now, if you're younger, you know, doing this slowly, opportunistically, probably is okay, right? Getting things into balance, especially if you're only slightly out of your targets. But if you're closer to retirement or in retirement and your portfolio is positioned too aggressively, because maybe equities rallied, You want to do that. You want to make that rebalance faster because you can't make a mistake. You don't want to wait for the tide to turn and have sustained weakness in the stock market to make those changes. You want to do that now while the market's been up. So those are some ways to think about how to change your portfolio as we head into the back half of the year. Now let's keep things going and pivot to the InvestTalk Voice Bank from 888-99-CHART.
This is Romero from the Bay Area. I'm currently looking into the Celsius Holdings, ticker symbol CELH. That's a drinking energy company, and I'm thinking about investing in them, but I wanted to see what you think of this company long term. If you do think it's a good company to invest in, what's a good price point? Looking forward to your answer. Thank you.
Looking at Celsius, this is a name that's been trying to usurp Monster Energy as the leader in the energy drink space. And it's had its ups and downs, but earnings continue to go up and expected to be an all-time high of earnings of this year of $1.61 after all-time high of earnings last year of $1.34, and then $2 expected earnings next year. So pretty solid growth, $29 stock. So you're talking about mid-teens forward-looking multiple. I really like that. I also, the balance sheet is pretty strong, about $2 billion in net debt and a $7.6 billion market cap. It's not bad. It has $294 million in free cash flow trailing 12 months, which is down from its high, which is over $500 million. So I think that's the worry is that, while it's still in the longer-term uptrend, it's definitely retrenched a little bit. And so is the stock. Growth strength is 9. It's near a 52-week low. But I think the valuation is attractive here if it can reach that $2 in earnings. The only issue is that expectations continue to come down for those earnings next year. So until I see better momentum from the stock, I'm going to keep it on the sidelines. I'm watching it. I think it's interesting. I think it's probably a good risk or reward over the long term, but over the short to medium term, till it can break above the 100-day moving average, which right now is up around $35 per share. Right now it's trading at 29. Until it can break above that and show some positive momentum, I'm not, and the earnings momentum is negative. So you combine those two things, you're saying there's not a whole lot of confidence this is going to turn around in the short term. So until then, I'm going to watch it. I'm also not seeing capitulation, meaning what I would like to see is maybe earnings, it declined considerably, high volume, but not really go down that much. And that would mark a bottom. So I'm looking for more of a sign there where, okay, this selling is over. The baby's been thrown out the bathwater. All the weak hands are gone. And now I'm ready to pick it up. But I'm still not seeing that. So it's on the sidelines. I continue to watch it. But I do think you'll probably see a good opportunity to buy in the next 6 to 12 months. Let's go answer another voicemail question now.
I was wondering for moving averages, which time frames you guys like to use, whether it's the 50-day, 100, or the 200. Thank you.
Well, I like to use all of them. I have the 20-day, I have the 50-day, the 100-day, and the 200-day. Every stock is different, though. When a stock is in an uptrend, it usually finds support at a particular moving average. It's usually the 50 or the 100. The 200 is very slow. That's more of a long-term average. What I also like to see too is that longer-term average, the 200-day moving average, pointed higher. Pointed higher. That shows you that this stock is in an uptrend. I also like to see a gap between the 50 and the 100-day, which means that there's consistent upward momentum for the stock. And when that starts to break, meaning like the 100 flattens out, I'm just looking at Celsius. It's actually a very good example of this. Through 2025, it bottomed around 21, it eventually peaked out in the fall of 25 at 66 and change. But it was in a consistent uptrend. And it was always above the 100-day moving average. Then it had earnings, or some event, I'm assuming it's earnings. This is in early November of last year. And it fell from about $60 per share to around $45. And it sliced right through 100-day moving average right to the 200-day moving average. And almost immediately, that 100-day started flattening out. It recovered that 100-day for a short period of time in January of this year, but only for a couple of weeks, and then rolled back over. But the 100-day was still pointed down. And the 200-day eventually pointed down starting in April. So this is in a downtrend. And that flattening out of the 100-day showed you that that momentum was gone after that earnings. So the direction of the moving average, more often than not, can tell you a lot about the momentum in the stock. But I use all of them. There's a lot of investors that, or hedge funds that don't want to own a stock that is below the 50-day moving average. So that oftentimes can trigger a sale. But once again, it just depends on the stock and how volatile it is. And so when stock is in a move, whether it's up or down, you'll usually see it find that support or resistance if it's in a downtrend, at a particular moving average. And so that's why I like to use all of them. I like to understand where that tends to, where the market tends to come in and sell or come in to buy, and then what the direction of those moving averages are as well. This is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday is to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in now at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk is ready 24/7 for your finance and investment questions.
I'm hoping you'll give me your take on Ormat Technologies, ORA.
Is it a good idea to sell your losses in a Roth IRA and just use whatever you have left to reinvest into better stocks?
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk. Tell your friends they can listen live, download the free podcast, or watch InvestTalk on our YouTube channel. And they can leave their finance and investment questions anytime on 888-99-CHART.
We're going to go speak to Sammy once again in San Francisco. Wants to talk about gold.
Hey, Justin, thanks for taking my call. I would like to get your view on gold. I saw a big drop today, so I just wanted to check in to see if this is the time to grab some.
Yeah, I mean, it was down again today. It's been under pressure from higher interest rates, higher dollar in general, lower yen, even though you're starting to, you have seen a little bit of strength of the yen recently, but today the yen was down once again. But yeah, I mean, I think over the medium term, I'm still bullish on gold. Near term is obviously some headwinds. And I think we're getting closer to the end of this correction, but certainly could have more room to run. It's hard to always pick that bottom. Sentiment, obviously, in January was extreme to the upside, and now it's closer to extreme on the downside. Thanks for the call.
Okay. Thanks.
Now, speaking of the yen, let's talk about the fact that Japan is trying to intervene in the market for the yen. Tokyo sold about $75 billion in foreign securities at the end of May. And that's to support their currency. That hasn't really worked. The yen continues to drop. And it just shows you that they are ready to sell off treasuries to fund the support of their currency. The drop in foreign held securities was the largest on record, actually, for the month of May. I don't think it's a shock that you're seeing rates go up. They hold about $1.09 trillion at the end of May of foreign currencies. About 70% of that are treasuries. But seriously, when they go and support, try to support the yen, they're most likely selling treasuries. Now, one might say that's a bad thing, and it could be, but it depends on which treasuries they're selling. If they sold short-dated treasuries, probably wouldn't matter too much, to be honest. But it's when they sell the longer-dated treasuries that could disrupt the supply-demand of that market. Now, you have been seeing rates go up. How much of that is potential more hawkish Fed? How much of that is Japan selling treasuries? How much of that is just treasury issuance in general because of our deficit? I think there are a lot of factors that are driving this. How much is inflation just continuing to kind of edge higher with what's going on in the Middle East? So combined, that's why you're seeing rates continue to go up. And what's the Bank of Japan doing about it? Well, they're actually raising their interest rate, and they're likely to do so again in the coming months because they're trying to support their currency. But ironically, a more hawkish Fed isn't going to help that. So I think it'll be very interesting to see what Scott Bessent says tomorrow, for example. Does he start to build an expectation of rate hikes by year end? Or does he get more dovish and maybe not say transitory, but talk about inflation as more transitory, or that their inflation target is now closer to 3 versus 2? I think these are shifts that are likely in some way, shape, or form, meaning the standard 2% target and focusing on rate policy. It's probably an unlikely path forward. It's clear that the current, Kevin Warsh, the new Fed chair, he is likely to change the way that the Fed works. And that will have a broad implications for currency markets abroad as well. So I continue to watch what's going on in Japan, and it could have a very profound impact on the markets here. I'm Justin Klein, reminding you about KPP Financial's parallel investing. We make a trade for our clients and make the same trade for ourselves. Same day, same price, same percentage. No front running, no special treatments. We invest right alongside our clients. We share the same risk and potential for success. And you can learn more by heading over to investtalk.com. Please tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes or Spotify. And watch our videos over on YouTube as well. Be sure to rate and review on iTunes. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.